Hey, it's Handsome Hank here. Backed by popular demand, I want to tell you about fantasy football leagues on FanDuel. Your season-long league is probably over, but the one-week fantasy football leagues on FanDuel have never been bigger. So don't wait till next year. Play more fantasy football right now for real cash over at FanDuel.com. A guy called Matt Nichols from Ohio turned a $25 deposit into over 25 grand playing fantasy football on FanDuel. Join him and hundreds of thousands of other users who've already won money. I'm going to go straight over to FanDuel, start with an entry fee at just $1, set my lineup each week, and win every week because I know I'm good enough, and I'm guessing you probably are too. Damashek, not so much. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use Dave's code DDFP, and sign up right now. There's a new user special at the moment, so FanDuel will give you a bonus of up to $200 on your first deposit, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. That offer's only good for the first 50 people that use the code DDFP. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season.
The Dave Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and nfl.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
Table of contents as week 15 is nigh. Alex Smith, the quarterback of your Kansas City Chiefs, coming up. We kibitzed with him a little while ago. We'll have that one for you. It occurred to me just in front of that interview that it's a good thing, or, well, I asked him if he likes the color red, because if he doesn't, that would really be, you know, that would the fates really got into. The football gods smote him early on because Utah, San Francisco, and now the Chiefs.
That's a great point.
Yeah, he brings up, well, now see, you hear that voice there. So you know that I am not alone here in Studio 66, Maximum Strength. What makes it Maximum Strength is that, of course, we have video capabilities now, and so be on the lookout on NFL.com and NFL Now. Track that down in both, not one, but both of those platforms, because watching it twice as nice. And also making it Maximum Strength in the studio today. One of my favorite shows is when we get these fellas together. We do it every week for the Red Challenge Flag segment. First of all, we'll say hello to the guy whose voice you just heard there with the Southern drawl. It's Elliot Harrison, and you read his work. Let me promote, since I'm promoting my stuff, I may as well do his. It's the right thing to do. The power rankings each week, you can see now that's in video version on Now as well in written form, and his weekly picks. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop?
Sorry for ruining the intro. I forgot to lay out.
No.
It's only my 55th time on the podcast.
Yeah,
sometimes
I know. I'm
a little green.
And also you're going to apologize for being late.
Yes, I apologize for being late as well.
Shame on you for that.
Yep. Oh, who was that again?
Percy Harvin.
Oh, yeah, our pal Percy.
Back in his relevant days.
I want to track relevant. He was very good in Minnesota the other day, his return up to
the
Twin Cities.
Yeah, and I sat him in fantasy like an idiot.
And then also, let's say hello to the guy who you heard earlier this week on a very fine podcast and just moments ago doing that spellbinding read of the fan duel, which you really do need to go and check out there, especially if your fantasy team is out of the race. FanDuel.com, but here he is. It's Handsome Hank, everybody.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, how are you?
Very well indeed, thank you, Dave. I'm really proud now because normally when I sit here, I sit next to distinguished people like Elliot Harrison or Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and you always intro them with, like, here's what you can check out, you know, that they've produced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until now, you skip that bit, and it's kind of you in a way. It's considerate because I don't do much.
Mm-hmm.
But now I do have something to my name, which is my FanDuel reads.
And I
really feel like my voice work is beginning to flourish and grow.
If I am almost tempted to advise Black Tie Behind the Glass to go back and lift out the word the read, because that pulls the curtain back. I don't like to reveal.
Right.
Because you do it so organically, it just seems to pour straight from the
I
heart.
I do. I bring it like that. And
I thought your first read was just a conversation when you did it with Drew Statton.
That's Drew is also very talented on that front. I mean, his voice, his vocal coach has worked with him a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of emails, a lot of tweets, Arthur and Joseph. So on. A lot of social media feedback on the first FanDuel read from earlier this week.
99%
they're talking
of it.
About there.
Excellent.
Yeah, Drew Statton, who's usually in here, but instead he's in St. Louis for the Thursday night football game. And Handsome Hank hooked up for just a captivating back and forth about the virtues of FanDuel. I encourage you, nay, demand that you check it out. Like Picasso or, you know, any avant-garde sort of artiste, some people didn't get it. Others did, though.
Was it a love scene?
It wasn't, but that's for consideration. Thank you.
Speaking of social media, before we get to the Red Challenge Flag pick segment, of course, where we will, where these two will compete, Elliot and Handsome. Or Smelliot. Are we going with Smelliot officially from when he showed up a couple weeks ago
I'm fine
unshowered?
With that. I'm fine with that.
I like that name. And Handsome Hank hook up to pick and debate who's going to win these big Week 15 games. And there are some big ones. And then Alex Smith. I want to try something else because I just referenced social media. Let's get into it here. It's, what are we calling this, Black Tie? Social study, right?
Social study, yeah.
Yeah. I came up with that, and yet I forgot the name of it.
That's a good name.
Yeah, because you know
did
why
you have social studies in the school. Growing
yeah,
up?
I was just going to ask.
It wasn't
was
history.
Ask
it was social studies when you
yeah,
were in grade school.
Yeah, why did they do it that way?
I don't know.
Why
I never
it called history.
Out. I never figured that out. Then they changed in junior high, but up until sixth grade, it's social studies.
Was it because it blended? I think it was because it blended. It wasn't just history. It was also sort of
Native American culture.
No, but right? You had to learn the three branches of U.S. government,
that's true.
That's not really history. I mean, it is can fold into history, but really it's the theory behind it. And so social, you're studying, but that's not really social so much as it is political.
I thought it was because you had to learn about all the people that came over to the United States and settled it. That's why I thought it was social studies. I have no idea, but that was my guess.
Well, I don't know. And did you have social studies in the U.K., Handsome?
We didn't spend much time learning about the three branches of U.S. government. No. Or Native Americans, no.
No, you didn't.
No, surprisingly not. We had our own government, which, is, I mean, if you think about it, you guys have got, like, histories that much, right? Mm-hmm. British history is, so we have to spend a lot of time just on history.
It is weird, excuse and I don't want to get right. into, I don't want to get into some sort of human existence conversation, but when you watch Cosmos, and you feel, like, I remember going to Europe and feeling, you know, you read about it before you go and you're learning and you realize, wow, we've been around for 250 years as a nation. That's a, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to human history and of course Europe and so on. But then when you watch the cosmos, it boggles the mind in a way I can't possibly fathom, and somehow it has all amounted to us sitting here and talking about guys running into each other on purpose, and we're trying to figure out which one's going to do it
that's
better
right.
on Sunday. It's very strange.
We're supposed to do, you and I, NFL Now and Then after this. Maybe we should change it. We, you know, NFL Now and Then, we should really do then.
We'll move just melt right
we'll
back.
We'll just meditate on man's existence. I don't know. That might be fascinating. I think that really could be fascinating. Me and Smelliot. Weighing in on why
back
we're
when
here,
men didn't shower ever.
Damon Sheck's a genius.
You know, thank you, AJ Hawk. I appreciate that. And that's a subject for another time. But I have often pondered: did people before the advent of soap and perfumes and shampoos and such did everybody just think you stink, or did you just accept it because that was the status quo? There wasn't anything. Was everybody like, "Ugh, stay away from me"? You know, how did human beings perpetuate the species given how bad everybody had to stink? You know, like I don't please stay away from me.
But it would all be comparative,
right? That's
so
what
there
I'm
would
saying.
Still be the really stinky guy. But
so who is the pig pen among cavemen?
Right.
Like who is the really?
But yeah, everyone smelled
right.
as bad as Elliot does now.
Yeah.
But then there would be an Elliot who would smell really bad, and everyone else would go, "Wow, that guy stinks."
Well, yeah. That's a bit for another
that
day.
A lot
write
of sense
that down,
to me.
Black Tie, yeah. Please. I want to make sure we do that. What smells worse, Smelliot or? You know, like we just bring in yeah. terrible smelling items and see which is worse.
Jellyfish right. stink.
Black tie, red hot with the drops today. All right, let's get into it here. Our new little segment here in which we will address what's hot in social media, specifically your notes to us and beyond. The first issue up on the social study comes to us from at that bow tie, a.k.a. Eric Robinson. He asks, can you and Elliot Harrison do a hardest QB to tackle championship belt from the Super Bowl era? Let's see if we can rank these out here. A couple of days ago, I said on social media that I feel after a 10-year reign, perhaps the longest we've seen in the Super Bowl era, Ben Roethlisberger has finally given it over to, he passes the mantle on to Russell Wilson. If you watched him in Philadelphia, those Eagles defenders must be having nightmares still about him spinning out of tackles, even when they wrap him up, even though he's not as big and sturdy as Roethlisberger and those kind of guys or Dante Culpepper types, he still has the ability, even if you get a hold of him, the ball sort of squirts out of there and flies out, and he almost never gets sacked, it seems. So anyway, let's do it now. The hardest QBs to tackle from the Super Bowl era. Let's gather some names here and figure it out. I have a few ideas off the top of my head. EH, I'll start with you.
I'll do here's three just off the top. One of them, I think you could argue the Roethlisberger, although I'm fine with that because he's been amazing, is Romo. I mean, Tony Romo could just escape anything. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about passing the mantle, if you're someone that felt like Romo was that hardest guy, now the back problems have made it where he's just not – he still has escapability, as does – Ben Roethlisberger, but not the same. Staying with the Cowboys, I just watched Football Life. Roger Staubach. I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. I grew up a Cowboys fan, rather. And in the late 70s, we saw Staubach's mobility on NFL films. But when you see the early 70s Staubach and the guy that was visiting training camp when he was still in the Navy, oh, my gosh. Some of those Naval Academy films were ridiculous. And then the last guy...
Let me just say about Staubach. If you see him, and they're, the grainy old Navy video, but besides that, like you say, I mean, pretty much through the 70s, this remained true. He had that ability that few other guys have, that you see that big defensive end bearing down on him, and as he goes to get him, Staubach would duck his head down and spin away from it.
It's amazing.
I think we've talked about this before. Staubach's one of those generational kind of guys that would make it in 2014. He would be gangbusters right now, especially imagine him running that read option and everything else. You know, he's really a lot like Russell Wilson, I suppose.
I agree. And if you go past him, again, another subject of A Football Life this year, which is a great show if you don't catch it, is Doug Flutie. I mean, you can say what you want about Doug Flutie, but I've seen Doug Flutie was fast. He was fast. And when he exploded, I think he was faster than Russell Wilson. I'm talking about his Canadian
football.
Wonder
what Marvin Lewis would call Doug Flutie if he says the things he says about Johnny Football. My goodness.
Yeah, just some of the – when I watched The Football Life, I never really watched a lot of his CFL stuff. My gosh. That guy.
All right, so listen, put those in some order for us here. You're naming names, but let's rank them here.
I would go Staubach 1, Flutie 2, Romo 3, because Romo doesn't have that toughest to tackle once he's running down the field aspect. Staubach had it all, whether it's pocket, running down the field, I would take Staubach.
Handsome?
I was thinking Staubach. I watched that and I thought it was fantastic. Football Life. I think Fran Tarkenton, again, not a guy I watched in real time, but all the film I've ever seen of him, he's probably more of what you said about Romo, where he was incredible in the pocket, but once he actually got going, he wasn't like super tough to tackle down the field. Randall Cunningham, a guy I loved, I really truly loved watching, had that in the pocket. I mean, there's that famous, and I can't remember who tried to tackle him, but where he stiff arms the ground basically and pops back up and gets up for the touchdown.
Where he's basically
parallel with the ground. And he kind of stiff arms.
Oh, yeah, the Carl Banks play.
It's a Carl Banks one, exactly. And then I think a guy to watch, because I think he combines some of what you say about Roethlisberger and then some of the more mobile, the not quite as Staubach level, but I think Andrew Luck could. If he wasn't a guy who was so tough that he steps up in the pocket and he does take a fair few sacks at the moment, but I feel like he could become that kind of player. It's just that he has all these other talents as well, so it's kind of put in the background.
That's a great one. All right, so let's rank them out here as much as we can. And neither one of you said him. To me, the number one of the Super Bowl era is John Elway. Do you don't see that? Neither one of you agrees with that?
I would take
Staubach. Talk about a guy who could run away from it and take the lick.
Steve Young in that same era was able to do the same type of
thing. But Elway was sturdier. He's a big fella.
But he just made a great point. If you had to pick the one signature play of the Super Bowl era about a guy being tough to tackle, it's Steve Young's run against Minnesota.
That's a great point. You know, it's really about do you have an iconic moment or eight that you can hold up there. To me, Roethlisberger really has to be in the top three in my book because, you know, among his many, again, iconic plays, you know, the Super Bowl pass to Santonio Holmes and tackling Nick Harper to save the Colts game and all that.
That's his most amazing play, if you ask me. I still cannot believe that play happened.
It's a great one, yeah. And, in fact, Ben Roethlisberger, when we spoke with him on this show, said that Steeler fans let him know that that's their favorite play he ever made among all the great passes he's made. But, you know, there was the game in Baltimore a handful of years ago when, at the start, Haloti Ngata broke his nose, and he took a beating all night long, and Suggs had him wrapped up as the Steelers were driving, and he had him dead to rights, and somehow Roethlisberger pitched the ball out of bounds because he was outside the pocket, kept the drive alive. The Steelers ended up punching it in and winning the game as a result of that. It's such an innocuous-looking play, but it's one that few others. But I'll tell you, Handsome, your Andrew Luck call is pretty good. It's the lack of body of work, but he definitely should be top 10.
Well, you and I do those now and thens. The first now and then that we ever did was Andrew Luck and Roger Staubach. And just one point on your Randall Cunningham. What makes Roethlisberger so tough to sack is just being big and strong. It's very Steve McNair-esque. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Cunningham,
another guy we should have in there.
One of the things about, and he does have the iconic play from the Super Bowl. One of the things about Cunningham is when he got out of the pocket, it was so hard to read how fast he was running because he had that long loping gait.
Yeah.
How do you take an angle on a guy like that?
Right. You know who's a lot like that in many, many ways? People have made this comparison before. Colin Kaepernick, as bad a year as he's having throwing the ball and leading a productive offense, he remains a guy who, for all his size, never seems to take a big shot. It's remarkable that he does that. All right, let's rank them out here. So one, we disagree. You won't have Roethlisberger as your number one.
I wouldn't be.
Or Elway, I should say.
No,
Elway.
Because I feel like down the field, Staubach was still the most difficult to tackle.
So Staubach one, you sign off on that? Okay, yep. Staubach one. Who are we going to then?
Well, can I throw another name in the mix?
You may.
Because I think people will take issue if we leave him off. Michael Vick, for a 3 to 5 year span, was electric, and he was
it's true.
He wasn't hard to tackle in that he was big, but he was so elusive, and a lot of it was more around the designed plays as opposed to the kind of the Romo-esque moments where he just escapes and rolls around back there. He was always looking. His first thought was, I want to get yards downfield, as opposed to I'm going to run around and try and find a guy open.
I agree with that.
All right, some other names, though. Dante Culpepper was basically a poor man's Roethlisberger in skill set and should be mentioned. Aaron Rodgers is terrific at it. Steve Young, we talk about. Cam Newton, get well soon, Cam, and he is dynamite himself. So those are the names we're dealing with. If we go Staubach one, let's just try see if we can knock out another
want?
Three
five?
Or four. Let's get to five. Let's
I'm good
at least
with
get to five.
To go to Dave's points. I'm good with Elway because part of me feels like at least a little smidge of this needs to be that not only were they tough to tackle, but they could still complete the play.
That's right. And
Elway,
I think you talk about
that.
The iconic play, and there are many for him doing this.
Yeah.
But the backbreaker was against the Houston Oilers in Mile High.
Yes, 91 playoffs.
Right.
Yes.
Was it David Treadwell who kicks the field goal to win it? But he makes a great play to keep a play alive.
That was
Sean Jones has him wrapped up, and he scrambles to his left and completes the play. So that was a great one. So Elway, two. I say Roethlisberger belongs three. I don't want to sound.
I think
I'm
that's
okay
fine.
With that.
Okay,
I'm good
we're
with that
not
one.
Getting any arguments.
And then Russell Wilson, Mike Vick, Andrew Luck. What do we think?
I think those are. I don't think we can put those three guys on the list right now. I'd have.
Okay.
I'd have Steve Young.
I would too.
I saw Steve Young do it enough times that I think he has to be on there.
All right, and then we will round it out with. Do you want to go? I mean, listen, I think you could put Russell Wilson, but do you want to go Fran Tarkenton for here?
Fran, maybe.
I think, the kids love it. The kids will feel ignored. Right, Black Tie, if we don't mention some current player. We got to name some current guy.
Okay, well, I'm just going to mention one guy from the last 10 years.
I think it's Luck, now that Handsome says it.
Luck's going, man, Jeff Garcia was tough. I mean, I know people don't think of him in this way, but Jeff Garcia was a really good quarterback for a while with the Niners, and he was extremely elusive, very mobile.
I got to speak up for my boy Russell Wilson. I know he's young. I know he only has 3 years in his career, but he is the one guy who I've seen time and time again.
He's a magician.
Bait pass rushers into thinking they have a sack, and then he just spins around them counterclockwise and gets a lot of yards.
I would take him over Luck. I'm okay with that.
I've seen Romo do that for more years than I've seen Wilson do that.
That's true, too.
I mean,
I leave it to you to show how egalitarian the Dave Damashek football program can be once in a blue moon. I will leave it to you.
We need strong leadership, though, so I'm not sure we can make our minds
up. I feel bad. I would say Romo because you talk about iconic plays. I mean, I bet you Romo has as many as anyone in history as far as escapability, just like
all right, then I'm saying 5A. I'll give you that one because he's been around longer, but kids out there and the 12s especially. Russell Wilson gets 5A.
Yeah,
but I also like Andrew Luck.
So let's revisit this in 7 years.
All right. Yeah. Good stuff there. Number two in the social study comes to us from Socks and Sandal, a.k.a. Chad. He says, is Julius Thomas a sort of almost Jenga piece? A sort of almost Jenga piece. Of course, the Jenga theory is that if you take out the wrong piece of a franchise, just like Jenga itself, the whole team can fall apart, will implode upon itself. Julius Thomas, the Denver Jenga piece, well, first of all, the offense is doing still pretty well. They just have shifted philosophy, and now it's all about C.J. Anderson. In my book, well, you know what? I'll bite my tongue, and I'll start with you, Handsome.
I think, it seems like the offense has changed. For me, if you're a Broncos fan at least, that should be a good thing because what they're proving right now is they can win in January in ways that they weren't able to a year ago. So is he a Jenga piece? No, because it hasn't slowed down that much, but the emphasis has shifted from Peyton, and so the question has to be asked, could they run the same passing offense they were running, you know, at the start of the season? Probably not, no.
E.H.
I totally agree with Hank on that, but I know what your definition of the Jenga piece is, and I would say absolutely not, because 2012, Julius Thomas wasn't making plays like this. They were relying on Jacob Tammy and who's the guy they got from Houston? He tackled me.
Joel Dreesen?
Joel Dreesen. And Peyton Manning had a great year in 2012, and I agree. They are better equipped now to win the Super Bowl than they were last year, even though they're not playing as well offensively.
Let me just say this, and I don't want to start conspiracy thoughts or anything, but I'm not the only one talking about it. Peyton Manning, this shift to the running game is working, obviously, but it is covering up. I don't know if it's dead arm right now for a guy who's that age or what's going on, but clearly, if you've been watching the last month of Broncos football, that ball, it never is a glory. Right. It never looks like a Flacco pass. Mm-hmm. But it's dying in the air. He's getting picked off a little bit more than he usually does. I asked some of the guys who watch it, who X and O it up pretty good, Nate Burleson, Daniel Jeremiah, guys like this, the other day, what they're seeing with that. And they agree. There's something going on with not to say he's injured or anything else, and not to say he can't overcome it in January. But right now, Peyton Manning, at the very least, seems to be struggling a little bit, with throwing the ball. And by the way, the guy does still did battle nerve damage, and that is medically a fact that sometimes those things come back in subtle ways and affect the way you play.
It'll be interesting in the playoffs if, you know, those tougher defenses that they're obviously going to have to face there decide, all right, instead of, you know, how do you take away Peyton Manning, they say, let's take away the running game and make Peyton beat us.
He is 38 years old.
That's right. It's
going to happen.
Absolutely valid that, you lose something off the fastball.
And it tends to happen quick.
Yes, that is also a key point.
Saw that with Marino in 99.
Yep. When football players, and I won't compare it to any other sport, but specific to football, when it goes, it goes, it goes off a cliff. It is not a gentle roll down a hill. It is all of a sudden they're great, and then the next day they just, they're old now. It's finished for them. Not saying that's true for Peyton, but right now it's something to keep an eye on to see if he can ramp it back up here as the playoffs approach. All right, last thing, social study issue number three comes to us from none other than Tom Brady. No, not Tom Brady the Patriot. Tom Brady, our boss. So more important that we answer this
one. Sit up straight.
Please do. I'm going to button this one.
I got a text from Tom, who was with some of our other coworkers in an airport, and our pal Mark Brady, another of our bosses, was with him, and Mark, I guess, ordered soup and chili for lunch at the airport, And Tom furiously texted me, is this acceptable?
Obviously, you would be texted because of your soup status as a
well
as
because a I think Tom understands that, you know, there it's one thing to, you know, talk about there's some issues that need to be addressed.
Did you notice
but when it
the whole
serious,
change in posture right there
right.
when he answered that
he's taking control
like, let me answer that let me just pour my
body
stuff
language
with one
expert.
Cue
I don't shy from tackling the tough issues no. I've always mm-hmm. done it I take them on directly
okay.
So Tom knew that was a he and he did in fact come to the right person. Issue one: chili and soup acceptable to order both in the same meal? Let's answer that one first. I'm going to say absolutely. I've done. It's not for everybody, but that's you know.
It's fine.
It's for the bold, and I am among the bold, and I have never complained when I've done it.
There's one caveat though. Your soup starter, presumably you're starting with soup, following with chili. Your soup starter cannot be a meat based one.
Well, it's funny. It needs to be broth or, right. Yeah, you want the heavier one, obviously, to come second. And that was issue number two, which order did they come in? And you nailed it there. Of course, the chili is your main course.
Yes.
Soup is never a meal unto itself.
You know, I'm going to let you handle that because you're the expert there. I want to talk more about your body language. It reminds me a lot of the first Vacation movie when Chevy Chase is driving and he envisions himself in the car with Christie Brinkley. He's got the sunglasses on his head. You remember the cigar? He's just sitting there. I mean, your whole, like, everything, just the confidence oozing from you right now.
Listen.
That Tom went to you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, and I take that responsibility very seriously. Mm-hmm. And not unlike Spider-Man, that heavy responsibility has cost me some friendships.
I do have
some relationships over the years.
I do have a question, though. If someone had a problem with the soup chili mix, in theory, then what would be the difference between having carrot sticks and celery sticks with ranch for one and maybe peanut butter for the celery sticks? Aren't you doing the same thing? You're taking two finger foods at one time, having two different dips, just like you're taking soup and chili are both liquidy.
Yeah,
what's
listen, it's fine, but yeah, listen, and issue number three that sort of leads me into, the third question is chili a soup?
And No,
it's not.
No.
Chili is chili.
Chili is chili. And that is one of the great compliments you can give chili and any food, and there are very few you can give it to. Chili is no more a soup than a hot dog is a sandwich, you know? And if you can distinguish yourself as your own category, I mean, what more could you ask for as a food?
The world's your oyster at that point.
That's really right. And the snobby people of the world all think that the crawfish boil is the way to do a part. A chili cook-off is one of the most fun things you can ever go to. It's a southern thing. I'm just
whoa,
you've never
pie off.
I'm just saying.
Maybe we
chili
do
off.
Chili
cook off is all right. Fantastic.
All right, get that on the books for 2015, Black Tie. There you are, Tom Brady, and congratulations to Mark Brady, aka Mr. Bold, for having his chili and his soup. Let's replace have his cake and eat it too with that. He's having his soup and some chili. That's living. That's gluttonous to some, but to me, that's not surviving. That's living. All right. Now let's get to the red challenge flag segment, shall we? And Black Tie, yes, anything else? Did you need to weigh in on any of those matters that we just went over?
Not on
I'm
chili
glad you got
soup.
The Russell Wilson in there. I'm glad you cast the deciding vote there.
Black Tie, do you put a little cheese on the top of your chili or do you leave it alone?
Actually, I'll I'm going to go alone. With a has Black Tie eaten it?
I didn't eat chili until I moved here, though. That's true. Chili back home is really just red spices. And
what do you mean? What's
chili,
back
like,
home?
Nigeria.
Oh.
Yeah,
they have chili there? That's kind
well,
of
no,
seems
that's,
like such
I mean,
an American
like
item.
It's not it's I mean I it's a it's just a meat sauce kind of
yeah,
thing.
It's not chili here. I don't think most places around the world call that chili.
But they have the same dish?
Yeah,
well,
but
in the UK, what do they call it? Stew?
Yeah, kind of.
Stew. Oh, I hate like stew. A, ugh.
No, but it's not it's like a sort of bolognese.
When mom said we were having stew, I left my toys out. I wanted to get grounded. I wanted to just be sent to my room. I hated stew. Cooked carrots are disgusting.
I didn't like stew as a child, but as an adult, I do enjoy it.
There are many types of different stews, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like saying you don't like soup.
Speaking of African foods, have you ever had Ethiopian? That's one of the most delicious foods you can have. They give you that thin kind of pancake thing.
Fairfax and Olympic, bud.
That's right. There's a row of them there, and I've eaten those in Chicago as well. Spicy, and all earth-toned and no forks. Instead, they give you that thin pancake, and you pick the food straight up with that. That speaks to me. I love that.
And food.
All right, let's get to it here. And Alex Smith is on his way. But first, it's time for the Red Challenge Flag segment.
Red Challenge Flag Mix.
All right, fellas. It's no secret that the big ticket item of at least Week 15, and really, if you think about it, the biggest story in at least on the field related matters. Of course, the Seneca will maybe reference some other darker off the field stuff. But, you know, the big story about actual football related stuff is Johnny Football. And as delayed as it was, it is finally here. Johnny Football is going to be out there. So we may as well start with that game. The Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
Dave, for this game, I'm afraid I'm going to go against Johnny Football.
It's fine.
And take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Elliot Harrison, how say you?
Dave, I hate disappointing you, but I'm going to have to leave my red challenge flag firmly in my pocket.
What's wrong with you?
Come on, man. Last week, everyone thought the Bengals were going to beat the Steelers. I knew the Steelers were going to go in there and hand it to them. And now I think Cincinnati is going to go into Cleveland when people think that Johnny Manziel is going to be this huge spark and they're not going to know how to deal with it. And I think they're just going to beat him.
Has everyone forgotten what Johnny Manziel did or didn't do in the preseason? Like, why do we suddenly think that Johnny Manziel is going to come in and revitalize
the Browns? Because
he's a spark.
He's a spark.
He's a spark. Guess what? You were at the stage of the season where being a spark isn't going to do it for you.
If you have wheels and you are an unknown entity, which is what Johnny Manziel essentially is, that is going to get you something the way.
But he's also...
He's going to run around.
Sure.
He is going to be problematic. Brian Hoyer does not have the same skill set. Ergo, what are the Bengals looking at in trying to assess what the offense is going to do? It is a wrinkle, legitimately.
We've just talked about it. He's not the only elusive running quarterback in the NFL. There are other guys that you
but
can look at.
But it might change what the Browns do offensively, so you can't look at their tape and say, well, sure, we know they're going to do this, because now number two might change exactly. It might change the nature of what they're trying to do.
The big difference is, though, that he's proven to be an incredibly inaccurate passer. I mean, it's like, keep him – if he wants to run around, but he's going to have to make a throw, I want to watch see what happens when he makes the throw, because he doesn't throw accurately.
Well, let me tell you something, and I'm not just getting swept up in it. Maybe I am getting swept up in it. But that place is going to be gaga. That place is going to be wild in Cleveland.
I agree with that.
This is huge, and that will be relevant in the game.
You say go bold and pick
underdogs. I'm going bold. I'm going Browns.
That's not going bold. That's going like fun and easy.
That's not – how dare you? And you want bold? Guess who's my starting quarterback in the fantasy playoffs this weekend? That's right. Johnny Football.
No, that's bold. That's bold. But
and
picking the Browns to win at home with the new quarterback.
In a
division game.
They're picking a 7-6 team to beat the first place team in
Cincinnati
the division.
Wait, 24-3 this year.
Okay. Well, so we'll see. Bold or vanilla, either way, I'm going Brown.
Good for you.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's move on then to our next contest, and let's stay in the AFC North. And as I said about 3 weeks ago, the blend of the NFC South with the AFC North is going to determine who gets into the playoffs from both those divisions. It's really bizarre. The Ravens have handled these bum teams from the South. Other teams in the North have struggled with it, specifically the Steelers. Do you know, 8 losses outside the division for the NFC South teams.
Yeah.
2 of them have been against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I agree with you on this.
It's embarrassing. It's in Pittsburgh, and both those games have been in Pittsburgh.
You nailed
this. Now down to Atlanta.
You nailed this weeks ago, right after you said Seattle wasn't making the playoffs. You nailed this point.
You know what? You can be as snarky as all the 12s are to me on social media. They ain't in yet. I actually got a tweet from a Seahawks fan who demanded that I apologize for that, and I retract it immediately. I said, I didn't hear that they clinched a playoff spot yet.
I agree with that.
I'll acknowledge that I was wrong when I'm actually wrong.
And that was a huge win by Arizona. A little bit underrated win on the Week 14 slate, if you ask me. Cardinals winning at home against Kansas City.
Completely agree with you about that. And that division, the NFC West, still comes down to, in all likelihood, comes down to the game in Arizona next weekend. And we'll get to that game, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Niners and Seahawks here. Meantime, let's do what I started to get into. the Pittsburgh Steelers at 8-5 at their best look about that look like they could compete with anybody, and at their worst they lose to the Bucks and Jets and Saints. At the Atlanta Falcons at 5-8, still relevant in that awful division. Elliot Harrison, how say you?
I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road.
The Falcons look pretty frisky on Monday night against the Packers in the second half. But I still think the Steelers, who have surprised us at the wrong times, I think they're going to be they'll handle this. They've got to.
I can't make an intelligible pick here. It makes no sense that the Steelers would strike. I mean, their secondary is lousy, and Matt Ryan's skill, his primary skill, is that deep ball. But if Julio Jones isn't ready to go, and their secondary is terrible too, so Ben Roethlisberger, if accurate on this day, should also have a big night or big afternoon in Atlanta. I'll give it to the Steelers.
I miss Drew Staton on this. Can we get a memorial?
Yeah, there is the bad statitude that he brings.
Because Atlanta, I believe, is giving up the most yards per play in the NFL at 6.2, the most yards per game, and I believe Pittsburgh is number two in those categories. Most passing yards per game, Atlanta is the worst. I think Pittsburgh is two to only Indianapolis. It's not a good matchup for the Falcons.
We shall see. And, of course, the Steelers, if I'm right and the Browns take care of the Bengals and the Steelers win, they would find themselves in first place in that division. All right, let's go to the NFC East and Elliot Harrison's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys. Nice and fresh. They had a couple extra days after that victory in Chicago. Cold as it was, they needed the rest there. Cowboys at the Eagles. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I think if the Cowboys do the same thing we saw them do in Chicago and keep just plugging away, handing the ball, getting the ball in DeMarco Murray's hands, the Cowboys can go into Philadelphia and win it.
I'm going to leave my red flag in my pocket.
You two are the worst. I tell you all the time, conflict is the heart of any good drama.
We don't plan this.
But I'd like you to go against each other.
I agree. The Cowboys' offensive line, that was the one game this year where I felt like they got beat at the point of attack, really beat, and maybe San Francisco week one, but they looked tired to me. They had played a Sunday night game against the Giants right before that. I don't think Fletcher Cox is going to just dominate this game. Cowboys, 10 days rest. I do. I like Dallas. That doesn't mean Dallas is going to win the NFC East, by the way. Mm-hmm. I just think they win this game.
All right, and let's round it out here with a couple. I'm trying to find some games here, Black Tie. I don't know what to do. They won't go against one another. I know you're going to both take the Seahawks in the clink, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm really tempted, and it's to be determined, but I have a feeling that somehow Navarro Bowman's coming back. I just feel like that's where he had his knee ruined, and arguably that's where things really started to go in the wrong direction for the Niners overall. It's been a mess of us.
I thought that happened in New Orleans.
No, it happened it was the title game up in Seattle.
Oh, it was.
I just got one last hurrah.
Can't you see them saying one last time?
We got humiliated at home. Let's not go out like this, fellas. Let's teach the champs a lesson.
I do agree with you, though. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I do. I think people are expecting Seattle to hammer them, and I don't see that.
I can't figure out any games that you guys are going to disagree with. You're both taking the Colts over the Texans in Indy, right?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
You're both going to take the Patriots in Foxborough over the Dolphins, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. You guys stink. Here's a good one, and we'll finish it with this. The Green Bay Packers, steamrolling everybody in Lambeau at least. A pretty tough little road test here for a team that if they lose, they are definitely 100% done. At the Buffalo Bills, Elliot Harrison, how say you?
I love this game. This is maybe the game I'm looking the most forward to. I really think it's going to be great, but I like Green Bay right now. Not because I don't think Buffalo can match up with them.
Lacy may not even be out there, too.
I don't trust Kyle Orton right now.
That's the problem for me, and I'm going to go the same way as Elliot. No red flags for me is that if you can, you know that Aaron Rodgers is going to score some points. I don't see Kyle Orton keeping pace with Aaron Rodgers in a
You know what my problem is? The two of you. Get someone who's frisky in here, Black
Tie. Let's hear what you would have picked for all
you
those
didn't
games.
Pick, you didn't, I you did didn't tell pick you already.
You, the one, you disagreed with us with the Browns because you're enamored with Johnny Manziel.
I'm not enamored, but I am.
You are, yes.
And on NFL.com before the week is out and also on NFL Now, I did a little essay, if you will, about Johnny Football, his arrival, and the significance of what is in front of him. It is this opportunity isn't just to etch himself in the top slot for 2015 on the Cleveland Browns, the depth chart or anything like that. What he could do, if he can run the table here, is just remarkable. If you think of the 15 games from Sunday to the last Sunday of the season, what he can achieve playing the Bengals, then the Panthers, and then in Baltimore is really lofty stuff. So I'm excited about the narrative that exists there.
Oh, there
potentially.
It is. There's the
word. But that's not what is dictating my pick. I like that
I
Browns defense.
All right, that's fine.
I like
but
the Browns defense
what else
against
do you disagree
Andy Dalton.
With us? What else have you disagreed with us on?
I'm going to blame you on this one because you didn't take.
I take the Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles.
But because you wanted the sexy games, you didn't take the games that are the hardest to pick. Right. I mean, I think Washington, New York is tough. I think
because it's meaningless.
Tampa
so who
Bay,
can
Carolina
call those games?
Tough to pick.
They're irrelevant games at this point. So
hey,
what are you doing?
You
You're flipping coins.
To,
who's going to show
I'm
up?
I'm just saying.
All right, let's do one more. This is a relevant game. The Denver Broncos at the San Diego Chargers. Handsome Hank, I'll say
That's
you.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Then do the right thing.
I'm going to pick the San Diego Chargers
All
because
right.
I'm under pressure. I hope Elliot does
Only
as well.
Do it if that's what your heart
no,
tells you to do.
No, it's a tough one. I mean, why not? Look, we just talked about the issues Peyton Manning's having. Let's say this is the game where the Chargers say, we're taking away C.J. Anderson. You beat us. We'll see what happens.
You go to the Chargers?
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers. Just to keep – I mean, what do we do to keep Dave happy?
I agree. You
Please.
Know,
remember that I gave you – I allowed
life.
You to reply.
You gave us – remember that I gave you life.
Remember that I let you have Roger Staubach at number one on the toughest to tackle
list. I let you
list.
Read the FanDuel. Right?
Yeah, he did let me read the FanDuel thing.
No,
he wasn't here on time.
No, you know what? That was not something that I decided. That was something
Fate
that
decided.
Handsome – no, yes, that's exactly right.
Well, preparation.
That's something that Handsome decided – with his effort.
Right.
With
hard
his
work and preparation
Jew
equals
Sanford
opportunities.
Meisner's acting. Okay, so I listen, because this is all sincerity about your Chargers pick, I'm going to have to throw my red challenge.
Yay! Yes, finally!
I am. I love this game. I love this game. It's going to be so fun to watch, but I do think Denver's going to win because of C.J. Anderson. San Diego is going to have to account for that. And if Demaryius Thomas gets caught with any Chargers corner one-on-one, I think that is going to be a mismatch. San Diego, though, has done a bang-up job against Denver defensively, except for this year. But in the other five games they played against Denver, they haven't gotten 400 yards of offense.
Can I tell you something else, too?
Sure.
It's what we always attributed to Norv Turner teams. Maybe a Phil Rivers thing for some reason, which is – that he gets better as the season goes along. I know the Chargers played well early this year, but they perennially lose some games in September and October, and you think, what? I thought the Chargers were kind of good this year, and I guess they're not. And then they turn it on somehow. And like I said, that might be a Phil Rivers thing rather than what we always thought was his ex-head coach there.
I agree, man.
I think he has a chance to steal this game.
You've called me a Romo apologist, but I've been a under-the-radar Rivers apologist for a long time.
I'll apologize for Phil Rivers at any point.
He's,
I love that guy.
He is a great player.
At least he says something, right? In a world where
everyone.
Almost no one says anything, at least
Top
he
three
talks.
Body language.
You know, if he's not your number one, you're insane.
Yeah, but people get all down on him for his body language on the field, the way he hollers at players.
I love that.
Vince Wilfork was saying in the pregame last week, he goes, I love playing the guy. I'll smack him. I'll hit him really hard, and he'll get up and say, that's all you got, man? Yeah. And, he doesn't care. He just wants to play. How can you not like a guy like that?
That's what's fun. And before we go to Alex Smith, real quick, this was a week of all time. I don't want to say dumb, but sort of what is going through your brain? Is that are you so deluded that you believe these things? The Marvin Lewis crack to me is funny. It's politically incorrect, but it's a funny thing to say, and for him to get beaten up over it is what's not what's wrong with society, but settle down. There are real issues in the world. This isn't one of them. But the things that were foolish were one, Geno Smith announcing, hey, I've shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Yeah, well, everybody does who gets the start. If you play enough, you're eventually going to make a couple of throws. They're like, see that? That looks pretty good, right?
That's pretty good. I haven't done it for more than one play at a time, but
that's deluded. But Ndamukong Suh saying, my agent will choose where I play in my next contract is just so out of touch with I know it's the truth and I love the truth and I want the truth. But on the other hand, I mean, from a PR standpoint, it's such, like I say, an out of touch thing to say. I mean, the Lions are on the cusp of getting back to the playoffs. This is exciting. And how excited is Ndamukong Suh to be a part of this exciting run here? Well, I don't know. I mean, wherever my agent puts me, as I'll be cool.
I agree,
with it.
Man.
He was asked as well. I agree with you, although it doesn't quite mesh with your no jive talk.
But he was then asked
what are his favorite things about, you know, during his tenure with the Lions, and he said, I guess playing on Thanksgiving and some other stuff. He couldn't think of anything that was like that, you know, that represented the fun, the cool things he's done while playing for the Lions. Just you know, Thanksgiving Day games and stuff.
Which is also ironic, given that one of his most infamous deeds was kicking the guy on on Thanksgiving.
You know what's interesting to me? I was just thinking about this, and I know you're going to get to Alex Smith, but one more point on Rivers is that we kind of lament losing some of those broadcasters that just don't sound like the homogenous, you know what I mean, middle America, like the Myron Copes of the world, the Jack Bucks of the world. That's what I like about Philip Rivers. Is all these quarterbacks now, so many of them just look robotic to me. They all, you know, they're all taught the same thing. Philip Rivers has the most quirky delivery style. He throws the ball down the field. He takes chances. I love watching him play, and I don't think there are a lot of guys like him.
It's
left
funny you say that, because I think he is, of all the guys, and I love Ike Taylor and Terrence Newman, and Nate Burleson's doing great work, and a lot of great talkers out there. You know, in a sea of guys who don't say anything, there are some guys that have a lot to say and are fascinating to listen to. But I think Philip Rivers is going to be one of the greats. When he gets out of there, if he wants to be an analyst, he will be top shelf from day one. All right, let's get out of here by kibitzing with Alex Smith here. Here he is, everybody, a team that is desperately will need the win. I'm probably win out in order to get to the playoffs. Here he is, Alex Smith. You're listening to Dave Damashek. All right, joining us now on the Dave Damashek football program, the star quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, brought to us by Vizio. Here he is, everybody. It's Alex Smith. What's happening, man?
How's it going?
Well, it's going much better now that I'm speaking with you. You know, I've always wondered about you, and now I see your T-shirt, and I guess that's my answer. Do you like the color red? Because it would be bad if you didn't, given your career arc.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been a few years now. I haven't taken this color off.
Yeah, I mean, all the way back to the Utah days. By the way, speaking of that, the Utah days, are you rooting now? Because, like we said, we'll talk about what you're doing with Vizio with the Fiesta Bowl. But are you an Urban Meyer guy for this Final Four, or are you now a Pac-12 guy rooting for your former Utes now in that conference?
Yeah, definitely pulling for Coach Meyer. You know, he and I are very close, you know, went through a lot together, and he's one of the best coaches I've ever had, and you know, a guy that does it the right way, and certainly pulling for him. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sure, obviously, for obvious reasons, you wouldn't answer who's the better coach, and I'm sure you get asked that a lot, but who's the more fun guy? I'm always curious about Andy Reid seems like a hoot, but then again, Jim Harbaugh seemed like he had a way about him himself.
Yeah, I really don't want to get into comparing. I've played for a bunch of great coaches, and they're all different. Loving where I'm at right now, though.
Yeah, I can imagine why. Do you like the city of Kansas City? Is that a fun place to be, or do you skew more Bay Area?
I'll tell you what, it's been an amazing experience coming here, starting with the people. The people have been so great, so welcoming. It's been an easy, easy transition. So.
You a barbecue guy?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good. So what about then, we'll get into the Chiefs as well here in a second, but do you have a soft spot, given your career trajectory and where you came from, and really it felt a little delayed when you really broke out in a big fashion. Do you have a soft spot for the likes of Brian Hoyer and Drew Stanton? Is there a place in you that kind of is rooting for those guys?
It's tough. I don't know what's going on in any of those situations, and it's tough to even worry about. And some of these guys that I've known over the years, you do pull for them when it's appropriate, just because you've gotten to know them. But other than that, like I said, don't know what's going on in a lot of those situations, so it's really hard to comment.
What are you doing? Talk about your situation and what you and Vizzy are doing with the Fiesta Bowl this year.
Yeah, it's been a very cool experience. Like you said, I got the chance to play the Fiesta Bowl, and now 10 years later, with Vizio, given a chance to give away a trip to this year's Vizio Fiesta Bowl. Fans can go online and submit their own game day hacks. to Vizio.com/Fiesta Bowl for a chance to win. Very, very cool. Some fun stuff on there online to check out. And fans, like I said, can put their own on there, and the winner gets to go to this year's Vizio Fiesta Bowl.
Was the Fiesta Bowl that you're referring to against Pitt?
It was, yes.
Well, I'm from Pittsburgh, and that game made me feel a little bit sad. But I have for years, you know, from the time you got drafted through the first few years of your career, I would say this guy doesn't just have the ability to throw it, but he can really run around quite a bit. Do you feel like the national perception sort of ignores or has forgotten to some degree that you were one of the real trailblazers of the dual threat quarterback? We see more and more read option these days, but you really are one of the first guys to succeed doing that.
You know, I don't know. I haven't given it much thought, to be honest with you. I think certainly it, you've seen it. It's been funny over my career. You've seen it now, obviously, drift into the NFL with more and more guys doing it in college and certainly some of those coaches coming to the NFL level. So it's been interesting to see that transition where it's been more and more acceptable to have some, you know, quarterbacks utilize their legs with more, you know, run-directed offenses. So been interesting, and it's been fun as well. Obviously, for me, I feel like it's a strength of mine. And when I do get those opportunities to, you know, go out there and try and take advantage of them.
The Kansas City Chiefs of 2014 have been pretty much the definition of roller coaster. Two losses, two wins, then you go on the five-game win streak. The last three have been down. You know, do you want to do something like Flacco did a few years ago and said, I'm the best quarterback in the league, and Eli Manning was touting himself? Joe Namath, in fact, once predicted that he would win a Super Bowl. Do you want to guarantee three straight wins and a playoff berth for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know what? I'm worried about winning this game this Sunday. And got a lot on our plate. We got the Raiders coming to town, a big division game. A chance for us to get back on track.
I know that this has been asked of you, I'm going to guess, about 600,000 times already. But the wide receivers of the Kansas City Chiefs have zero touchdown receptions so far this year. Now, Travis Kelce and the great Jamaal Charles are pretty good you know, alternatives there, and that's really where that production has gone. But is this something that do you talk about this? Is this something that you would that you and Andy Reid or the receivers or anybody are talking about? We have to figure that out? Is that something, like you say, on your plate?
Now, you know, the really great thing is that we got a group that's more worried about us scoring points in general and us winning games than necessarily who gets the score. We got a bunch of guys that put team first before themselves and really believe that. So it's been refreshing to come to work and, you know, certainly get asked about it a lot. But we got a bunch of guys that, like I said, are worried about winning games more than scoring touchdowns.
Last question for you, Alex Smith, is Christmas is right around the corner. What do you want for Christmas?
I haven't thought about it. Like I said, enough on my plate. Just trying to get a W this Sunday.
All right, can I make a suggestion? Maybe a blue or a green sweater, just to change it up, you know?
Yeah, it could be nice.
All right, yeah. Maybe like a multicolored kind of thing, you know, just, you know, to break out a little bit.
There you go.
All right. Thanks very much for the time, Alex Smith. Best wishes to you coming down the stretch here. And again, Vizio and the Fiesta Bowl, Alex Smith, all hooking up. Thanks to Vizio for the time. And obviously, thanks to you as well, Alex Smith.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, damn a shack.
All right. So there it is. Good times with him. And again, if you know Alex or don't and are getting him a Christmas present, anything but red. You know, like I said, maybe a nice rainbow sweater, an Argyle of some sort. Anyhow, good times. Thanks to Alex Smith. Thanks to Black Tie Behind the Glass. And be on the lookout for the video version of part, at least, of what you just heard here. That'll be up there on NFL.com. And NFL Now, the power rankings, and Handsome Hank's FanDuel reads. Thanks to these guys for being in here. We'll be back after Week 15 to break it all down for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.